Hey there, welcome to The Horrible Show, the video game podcast from HorribleNight.com, coming at you live from Twitch.tv/HorribleNight every Tuesday night. It is Tuesday, November 6th, 2012. This is the only thing going on tonight, so we're going to keep rolling, and Josh Lee is here with me, freaking me out right now.
Yep.
Am I talking, or what is, how is he... He's like a weird ventriloquist doll, and it's very upsetting.
I just thought that would look funny on our live stream.
But now I don't even know what to do. I'm your host, Justin Lacey, confused as ever. Joining us via satellite in Germany, Ethan Moses.
Good evening, gentlemen.
You think it's a satellite? Is it a
I don't think it is a satellite. I don't know. Man. It's amazing to think that we're talking via satellite.
Do you ever wrap your head around that?
The galaxy is so big, the universe.
No, they have tubes. They laid tubes across the ocean.
No, I know that.
It's official.
I read about that.
And also joining us, Cole Monroe.
Hi.
Hi.
What's been going on, gentlemen? Ethan, are you confident in your... internet connection this evening. We had a little trouble. We've had trouble.
Absolutely not, but we'll see. We'll work with it.
Do you remember that time?
I restarted the system. It hasn't happened since last week. So, yeah. This thing, whatever this is called. Fingers crossed. Yeah. Man, what's happened to me? I forgot what normal things are called.
You got 10 of them.
It looks like a vagina. Yeah.
This thing.
juveniles.
I wish I had one of you with me right now, because then we would do this thing.
That's called pushing the cream out of the ho-ho. Mm. Or the ding-dong. Either one. Pick any of your hostess cream-filled cakes. A Twinkie. Although it's hard to get two fingers in a Twinkie.
You know, I'm a Zinger man myself, I'll be honest with you. I love the coconut, I love the strawberry. It's like a Twinkie plus.
Well, I mean, I'm a hot ding-dong fan.
Ding-dongs are really good.
Whoa.
I like the shape, too. It's like that hockey puck. It's like a, I don't know, it's like a really short, fat cock. You know? Also, but if I have to eat...
What are you watching when you watch
short,
hockey?
Fat
if, I, if I have to if I have to eat you know, one of those
cock.
Terrible, you know, pastry snack things.
Yeah. Pop-Tarts?
Like Hostess and Little Debbie's. Oh. I love those things. I pretend like I don't eat those constantly, but...
That's a good character.
That's why my face is so fat.
That's a good character to build up. The guy that hates Hostess stuff.
Zebra cakes.
What about zebra cakes?
Those are the best snacky cakes.
Goldie,
I wouldn't say the best.
Yeah, they are. They are. And also they come in like all kinds of holiday, like different shapes, like the Christmas tree ones. They had the fall cakes, fall party cakes. I just had some of those recently. Fucking delicious.
Are there any new ones
from our...
How do your
moon pies feel about this? You're always hawking moon pies.
Moon pies are something totally different. That's a meal that makes you feel bad. But tastes good. It tastes good. Your tongue is the only part of you that's happy when you eat it. I'm sorry. I was
just curious if our European correspondent has run into any other strange food cakes in, well, Germany.
Oh, my God.
Or also maybe our European chat members. Is there anything? I mean, there's Power Horse.
Strange.
I know their power drinks are excellently named. What about their snack cakes?
Power.
You know, I can't really pronounce a lot of their snack cakes, but actually they've got donuts that have holes in them, but also have cream in them as well. Wrap your head around
that.
I thought it was inside the circle? It was nuts.
I bit into it thinking
it was just a normal donut. Boom. Cream.
Mind blown.
Cream in my mouth. Filled.
It's like a...
And I was happy.
If
was
you
great.
Spin the donut, does the cream inside move? Like, it's like the large donut collider or something.
No. You would never know there was cream in this donut
particle.
Until you bite into it.
How does that even... How do they get in there? They have to spin it into it.
I don't
it.
Know,
They have to
dude.
Spin it into... It's got to be like a centrifuge. It's got
to
be some kind
of... I had to nap after I ate this donut, just thinking about how it was made.
Yeah. Not because you were full, just because you were like, oh my God, my man. Yeah, my brain.
It's tough.
Fucking donuts. That's some serious shit. Those are serious donuts.
I love
donuts.
Oh, are you kidding me, dude? Live it. Try living it.
Try living donuts.
Yeah.
I don't know what that means.
I live in my life. shocked by a cream donut.
That'd make a hell of a pillow, just like jamming your pillowcase full of donuts. Just like, you know, glazed yeast donuts. They're so soft when they're fresh. Like, you get them when they're hot. Yeah. You just jam them in your pillowcase.
A warm pillow.
Yeah, but when in the morning when they're cold and stale, it's hard as a rock.
Stale,
you know, is the other side of the pillow.
Good donuts,
it would wake you up.
Yeah, well, good donuts are still tasty. Well, first of all, you can just get a heated...
Don't you eat your drinks?
No. Get the heated pad that you use, like, for blanket and just lay on it instead. And then, so you got that down at the end. Donuts are fucking still warm, still fresh. You wake up, you stretch, you yawn, and you just...
smoke finger.
No, you reach into your fucking pillowcase and you grab one and you, bam, breakfast in bed.
Wait a second. Literally. Wait a second.
And the best sleep of your life. Donut blanket? How the hell are you going to... You have to weave them together somehow.
I'm going with breakfast blanket.
I know. I think the person that made the cream donut over here could do that. That is a dream come true. A donut blanket.
Really tough bacon you could actually sew together.
But I don't think that's comfortable.
When it's... actually, like, but pre-cooked bacon is...
Really comfortable?
It's really soft. Like, it's really soft. It's almost, like, soft and squishy and, like... It would only be good for, like, a day. Yeah.
Twizzlers.
Yeah.
Twizzlers?
No, no way. You'd have to untwist them all first. Otherwise, that pattern
what
would
be... What is the best combination of food that is terrible for you that would also make an exceptional blanket? Is that what we're trying to figure out now?
Yeah, I guess so. Cotton candy.
I think so.
No, that'll just... Because if you get sweaty, it just melts. Yeah.
Fine, we'll put broccoli in it. We'll use broccoli to weave the blanket.
Come on.
Is that better?
Come on.
Health food.
Flavor
nuts.
Ices before you freeze them.
Oh,
okay.
Flavor ice waterbed.
It's like it has to be clear, you know, so you can just see the different colors.
Oh, that'd be amazing.
But it wouldn't. Yeah.
Where do you stand on the flavor ice Otter Pop debate?
I've never even seen an
Otter
Pop.
Suck.
Never even seen
one. Like, their sugar's sour. It's bullshit.
That's not sugar, then.
You heard
that's
it here first,
else.
Folks. Flavor iced wins.
Yeah.
Yes.
As part of a bonus feature to this Foodies podcast, we're going to talk about video games tonight.
There's nothing foodie about what we just said. It's like the worst trash you can put in your body.
As a blanket.
We did talk about delicious. Bacon. We did mention bacon.
Bacon is delicious.
We're going to kick off the show with game industry shout-outs, see what the hell's been going on around the world, universe of video games. Josh, go.
I have a shout down or a call out. What would you prefer?
Call down?
I have a call down. That's weird. Microsoft can kiss my dick because they have technology. They have the network.
You're struggling with this thought.
No, I'm not. I'm just pissed. They have the power to give us their own fucking games on launch day on their Xbox Live service. Oh, but no. You have to go to the store to buy this shit. No. We can't use games on demand isn't for that. That's not for games like Halo 4 when it launches. Even though Sony and Nintendo are both doing it right now with their newest games. I think this is complete horseshit.
How long's Sony been doing day and date digital downloads? Like 2 months?
When has Sony or Nintendo ever beat Microsoft to the punch on anything? And Microsoft's had this capability for a long time. So it makes no sense to me. Like, why? I just thought, you know what? Perfect time to not make yourself look like you are super complacent and don't give a shit.
So did you get Halo 4 today?
No, I couldn't get Halo 4 today because I couldn't get to the store. But I could have just downloaded it by now.
It's really hit home.
Fuck.
You could have had a buddy pick it up for you.
Who's that? I don't know anybody that's that cool.
Oh.
Well,
that lives here. That lives here.
Your girlfriend?
Yeah.
She's not good. She was busy. She works. She's a working girl. No, well, not a working girl.
What's she doing right now? Stores are still open.
I'm sure she's doing important things now. Much more important than what I'm doing.
It's funny how like I've written off being upset about this because I've just accepted the reality. But I understand where your frustration comes from, but it's like I guess even when Sony made that shift, I wasn't expecting the day one digital downloads until next gen.
It's not like Sony was like way ahead of the game. I mean, we're PC gamers too here. Like, we've been doing this for a very long time. I mean, there are majority of the computer games you can't even buy on a shelf. So just that the fact that like Sony, you know, recently started getting in on that, it was like, oh, great. Finally, like they're, you know, catching up to the times. Nintendo on their handheld, you could buy the latest Mario game at midnight on launch day. That's online.
But that was like
Nintendo beat Microsoft to the punch. Microsoft looks really dumb right now. They've got egg on their face. All kinds of stuff on their face, not just egg. They have a lot of stuff.
They've been busy on other stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It's stupid.
The Xbox Live team has been busy integrating all the entertainment features too busy to worry about the fucking games.
Not that my hard drive has space for it anyway.
They can kiss my ass.
Wow.
What do you two indifferent fools think?
I'm an indifferent fool. The amount of anger that I can feel from the screen right now, like I want to hug you. Like I want to hug you. I wish I could.
Digitally,
I wish I could hug you
on the same day that you want that hug. He can't do that either, though.
No. I can't digitally download hugs.
Just get out your real Josh Lee doll, Ethan, and give that a hug.
Oh, have you seen it?
Yeah, I saw it.
See those boxes back there? I hit it because it's not for children.
I think it's weird that its mouth won't close.
The youngins to see it.
Yeah, the O face at all times.
Coleman, what's your game industry shout out?
Just shout out to Renaud Bedard, the programmer for On Fez with Polytron Corp. Switched jobs and he joined Capybara Games, who did Super Time Force, Clash of Heroes, and Critter Crunch. He is now part of that group, and see what he can do over there, and see if Polytron falls apart with Phil Fish standing by himself, or he can find somebody else to join his crazy ass.
I want to say Capybara also had something to do with Super Brothers.
Yeah.
I'm really curious to see what happens to Phil Fish from here on out. Like, he's got to hate video games anyway, and people.
He definitely hates people.
He considers himself, I think, a real artist. Therefore, he hates everything.
Yeah.
He's a hipster developer.
I didn't say that word.
I did. Yeah. Well, but like, well, if anybody who watches Indie Game the movie, are they really going to want to go work for him? I mean, I know that he would say, well, that was just the editing or whatever. But
that's not his prime
recruitment. He's like a real prick.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But on the other side, Capybara Games, they've got... I'm excited to play Super Time Force, and they've been doing some cool shit for a while now. So, and anybody that can, Fez did some cool shit too on the from the technical side. So
yeah.
Here's a question for you: Phil Fish or Jonathan Blow? Who would you rather work for?
I'd be less scared of Phil Fish.
Yes.
Yeah.
I like Jonathan Blow just fine, but
he has a certain.
If we were in high school together, who'd be voted most likely to kill all your pets?
Yeah.
Like that's by twisting their heads off with his hands, cool. and then petting them, and then taking them home and making them his own pets.
That is a long trophy.
Yeah. That's.
That's there's a page for that. It's one page in your yearbook for that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I want to see his high school photos, his yearbook photos. Too. Like, you know.
I want to see his basement.
He's got
I want
a
to
wall.
See his dirt floor basement.
I want to see the trunk of his El Camino.
it's probably touching the pavement.
It's just rope and shovel and duct tape.
What's your trunk, Jonathan? Nothing.
Why do you have six mannequin legs in here? All with different shoes. That's weird.
Ethan, what's your shout out?
Oh, my shout out is it's going to go to the University of Central Florida, their Center for Emerging Technology. Let me see if I said that right. Center for Emerging Media, excuse me. They are producing a game called Battle Fortress Tortoise. And I believe I linked you guys
Josh
a couple weeks
excited.
Back, and I've been kind of following this, and This game looks spectacular.
Yo, I saw this. I saw this. It's like a fucking giant, like a Lord of the Rings turtle.
Yeah. It's like tower defense, but like you're also like the tortoise is moving around. Enemies are climbing up it. You're running around defending it while it's. We're gonna link the YouTube. We're gonna link the trailer because I can't even describe it. Like I saw it and I was like, this is what the world needs right now. What the world needs right now is Battle Fortress Tortoise because it is just. I mean, why a tortoise? Like, well, actually, I think
something had to take out.
That has to
had
do
to
being on the back of a turtle.
Had to be able to take out a Mumukil.
What?
The gigantic elephants from Lord of the Rings that they rode on. I was like, these things could beat them. They would win.
Yeah.
They would win in a fight.
Huge. Yeah. So definitely pop over to the page. Just watch the trailer. They're on Steam, right? A green light right now. Don't believe they've been greenlit yet, which is shocking.
They will.
I like.
Oh, they have to.
I like seeing those student projects showing up on these indie services.
Yeah.
I mean.
Oh, absolutely. They have a huge team, too. I mean, the game looks pretty good so far, you know, and gigantic team, and they all look like, well, not very enthusiastic in their pictures, so don't judge the developer's page on this one, but, oh, man, I'm so excited. I want my own giant turtle.
Josh and I just touched toes.
Was this at PAX or anything?
Gross.
I'm going to ignore that it happened.
I do not know.
No, are you thinking of the other student project?
No, okay. But I was thinking about other student projects, and I was like, oh, there was one in the PAX 10 this year.
Yes, PAX usually has a DigiPen representative.
Mm. I didn't know if this was something that made the rounds.
You'd heard about this before? Or?
Yeah, I remember seeing the trailer basically the same time Ethan did. And fuck, it looked stupid and awesome. Like, I like these kinds of things. It's multiplayer, right? I mean, this is like a big multiplayer thing.
That's what it looks like, yeah.
I'd hope so. If it's not, I'm 100% less interested.
Well,
no offense, kids.
Try harder.
It looks epic nonetheless. But, and after I watched it, I just imagined all the other animals that I would love to build a fortress on the back of. I can only really think of a couple. A snail, a giant snail, and then a giant porcupine.
These are the obvious sequels.
That's all I had.
Why don't you think outside the box a little bit, Ethan?
How about just like a really big horse?
That's too fast.
That's been done, I think.
What? No, bullshit. Name one giant horse.
Was Mr. Ed giant? He was actually a zebra. Look it up. He was a zebra. He was not a horse.
I don't think that affects his size. What?
Zebras are smaller than horses. Yeah, I get confused easily.
And they are horses.
Didn't Godzilla fight a giant horse at one point? Like, wasn't there, like, he was fighting a building and then this giant horse was like, hey.
No.
There might be giant mythological creatures with horse heads, but I don't think they're technically.
Not giant ones.
Yeah. So I stopped paying attention there for a little bit, and then when I refocused, you were talking about horses. So what the hell happened?
I don't know. Josh,
why is that me?
Clydesdale.
You're talking about giant animals, and I just named one that would be cool, and then you're like, oh, it's been done. And I called out your bullshit.
How big is the power horse?
They're tiny, dude. They're halvesies. You can't.
You could have lied right there and defeated Josh Lee, but now never mind.
Wah wah.
Oh, sorry.
my game industry callback. THQ financial update.
Come back.
Ethan, you're a little bit upset by the delays of a number of their first quarter releases from the South Park game, Metro. What was the third one?
Company of Heroes 2.
Company of Heroes 2. Like almost all of their big.
Pushback.
Till when?
Later in the
March 2013.
Till THQ no longer exists.
Oh, we knew that was going to be in March.
So they had their
big.
No, I mean, everything was first quarter.
March is first quarter?
April, right?
Yeah, March is the end of the first quarter.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah,
now it's pushed back to April or after.
Oh, fuck.
Fiscal 2013 or whatever. So, anyway.
Why?
Because, let's say they had their big financial call, and they were also kind of talking that, you know, Darksiders 2 looks like it sold like 1.5 to 2 million-ish copies, but that wasn't what they needed it to do, which I'm like, are you really...
Once again, like, this is you early. You bitched about this earlier in the year. It was like,
you really expect
you're
going to
fucking bank on Darksiders, a middle-tier game, to carry your company? That's pretty fucking stupid.
So they're not going to break even... It doesn't sound like they're going to break even on Darksiders 2, which... That's frustrating that they're counting on that.
Man, and they're pushing back the games. They're gonna take away our dildo bats in Saints Row 4. They've canceled a bunch of shit.
And now they're like also negotiating with, they're hiring companies to give them like financial advice to try to restructure. So
now they're gonna hire someone.
Not a good sign.
So
they wait till now to do that.
I mean, they've cut a lot of stuff back, but I just. You know, I don't know what they expected to make them, like, to give them cash flow this year, the way that they structured everything.
I feel so bad for all those very talented development teams that are going to end up, you know, something bad's going to happen.
I mean, the creative director from Vigil has already left. Joey Madd, who, like, was responsible for...
They made a good WWE game. That's not going to help them at all.
Not when they spend like they have. Right. That's the problem.
And so they just are holding their breath for Saints Row 4, and which they also shouldn't bank on for those types of numbers. What was that?
I said they're not even going to be a company by the time Saints Row 4 comes out.
I hope the developers land safely.
I was going to say, we're thinking that THQ is going to be no more, I mean, it's not going to exist, right? I mean, is that kind of collectively...
It's not going to be shocking news, but I think they have one more run with this next batch of games. But I mean, none of them look to be, you know, to catch fire and become the next big breakthrough. I mean, a couple of them are probably worth, you know, a million sales, but they want their 5, 10, 15 million seller, and they don't have that in their library. Like Metro, we like Company of Heroes 2. We like.
They've got a big long list of amazing $40 games.
Yeah. That's the weird thing. Like I've not played a THQ game for a while that was horrible outside of Homefront wasn't horrible. It was mediocre. I mean, it's so weird that if you don't get past that 80%, you know, on the scale, you can't succeed. Like,
it's
that's
okay.
Nuts.
Homefront 2 is in development. It's okay.
Yeah. Somebody else owns it now.
I like how we get like kind of annoyed and negative, even though all of us want them to like to really break through and succeed, but it's just frustrating.
Well, they're not going
to
do the way they've been running their business. Like, that's because we know that's not going to happen. That's why we get down about it.
Yeah.
God damn it.
Yeah.
I
mean, what was the moment that THQ, like, what was the big, I'm trying to think back, what was the big fuck up? Like, what was the, I mean, obviously there's a bunch of different, I know they went into mobile gaming and tried to go into that. They had that little art pad or whatever.
They blew a bunch of money on...
Their large ramp up in development costs in, you know, marketing and all that shit. And their expectations, they just laid some heavy, heavy weight on shoulders of a bunch of games that should have never had to take that.
What was before Homefront? And then at the same time, they're spending all the money for Warhammer 40K Online.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. I forgot about that, too. Yeah. I mean, Red Faction Armageddon, that little crossover.
Yeah,
they were
banking on Red Faction a lot more too. It didn't seem like
why.
It didn't seem like they.
Why? Guerrilla was cool, but it wasn't like, and that franchise was in the shitter before that. Before Guerrilla,
yeah, it was.
Yeah,
it seemed like Guerrilla was like an accidental hit. Like, really, you're gonna make another Red Faction game? Oh, it was kind of fun to play,
and it had absolutely nothing to do with the previous games, the PC games. And it was a completely different, like, the original Red Faction was just like, it was like a kind of cool technology.
You had the hammer from the logo.
But it was it was like, cool, look at this shooter where you can blow up some walls with some dynamite, space dynamite.
Space dynamite.
Like,
fuck. Geomod.
They should redo that series and call it Space Dynamite. I'm in.
Starring Black Dynamite?
Ooh.
No?
Michael J. White?
Spawn? Where are we going with this?
I thought that was his brother.
No.
No? That was him?
Yeah, that was him.
What's his brother's name?
I watched a video of him giving Kimbo Slice some fighting tips. It was great.
Kimbo?
What? He doesn't have, what? Does he have training?
Yeah, man, he's, well, I mean.
Kimbo's trained with Boss Rutan. Why would Michael Jai White
be? It was a funny video.
He was spawned.
It was a funny video.
Oh, okay, okay. I thought it was like in a gym, like somebody got their phone out.
And he was in that Mortal Kombat web series.
Oh, that's true. Ooh, I didn't think about that.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah.
Okay, never. I take all that back. Michael. Sorry. I'm sorry, Ethan. I apologize.
Don't worry about it.
Let's move on to horrible shout-outs, calling out the original material that had your attention on HorribleNight.com. Ethan Moses.
You know, I've really enjoyed reading Aaron's Radio Waves, specifically this past week on Friday, or actually 2 weeks ago. I don't know what.
Yeah, 2 weeks ago.
Anyway,
I can confirm.
He was kind of, he led in with, you know, all the kind of zombie survival type games coming into play, and then he just transitioned into The Walking Dead, and kind of talked about that and his experiences with it. And
wait a minute,
I kind of like how he writes these because it's really casual. It's kind of fun to just see his. I mean, it's kind of a little bit review-ish, you know, but again, it's just kind of his experience with it, and I kind of like that kind of. He's a really good review writer, but he does a good job in terms of kind of bouncing out of that too. So,
yeah, this is
and he recommended a game called Punch Quest, which I located on iOS.
which I learned is one of the top five reviewed games on Metacritic this year.
Yeah, that's awesome.
What, Punch Quest?
Yeah.
It's interesting. It was funny because he's talking about The Walking Dead and just kind of, you know, he got into it a little bit, and then it's Punch Quest. That's what we're gonna end this with, Punch Quest. You know, just let's go right into the complete polar opposite of The Walking Dead. So, but again, those are great articles, and I really like to see that Aaron's writing a lot more. So
yeah, he's been trying to do a weekly series, kind of like a recap, because he plays a lot of different games throughout the week, and we're like, well, how can we capture that? And well. He's also kind of found that casual voice. Otherwise, he's kind of, you might know him more as our go-to review guy because he busts out monthly reviews for us. But we wanted to give it another opportunity to get his voice out there other than podcasts and that kind of thing. Well, speaking of podcasts, my shout-out actually goes to our episode of The Cursed Checkpoint. We did a little bit of Josh Brandon and I did a Assassin's Creed 3. Not really like a preview, kind of a hype package, just like we were.
Yeah.
It was on the eve of the release of the game, and I thought it would be fun to kind of capture, before we've read a review, before we've played the game, like what are we actually excited about for this series, because I kind of found that the three of us are very different places with our experience with Assassin's Creed. Like, Brandon's played them all, I'd played half of them, Josh had kind of... when you got through a little bit of Assassin's Creed 2.
Half of one.
Yeah. And, but we are all genuinely excited for Assassin's Creed 3, so I just kind of wanted to capture that. And I think we'll do more podcasts like that in the future. Not like, you know, we didn't want to do like the recap the story or like an outright preview of the game, but just trying to figure out, you know, there are a bunch of gamers out there that have played varying amounts of Assassin's Creed, and is this the game they want to jump into and trying to relate to them?
Yeah, it was fun. After we did that, I feel like before we did it, I didn't realize how pumped I was for the game. I was excited, but then we talked about it, and I thought, oh, shit, I'm really ready to play this.
Tomahawks.
Yeah, I started thinking about all the preview coverage, because, like, E3 was a long time ago, feels like.
Yeah.
So I don't remember any of the shit we saw until we talk about it. They're like, oh man, remember those sweet ass boats?
Ships.
those old cannon boats. Those were tight. And
it's basically 30 minutes of that.
Turns out, yeah, pretty much. And then it turns out that that's like a mode in the game. Anytime you can go fly those ships.
They're airships now?
Nope. Yeah, in the water.
I'm more interested.
In the water. So, I haven't played it yet because I'm playing it on PC and it's not out yet. So,
I've been playing it. I'll save my stories for a future episode.
I saw a little bit of it online. I watched some gameplay and I liked what I saw.
All I'll say is I do recommend the combination of last week's releases of Assassin's Creed 3 and Need for Speed Most Wanted to play both of them at roughly, just bounce back and forth. It satisfies.
Why not at the
like,
same time? Xboxes and TVs are cheap now.
Well, you can play. I think you can play Need for Speed with Kinect.
Can you really?
It has some commands that. Why would you use them? But I think that'd be funny.
With the wireless wheel. That would just use a Kinect, but I bet it uses the wireless.
Yeah, you use the wireless wheel, and you have the controller for.
Ethan, yeah. What was this hand motion? Were you grabbing a?
That boob? Was like a 1920s horn.
Like ooga ooga.
Yeah.
I thought you had a boob like hanging from your mirror.
Air boob.
It's hey girl.
Air boob.
See ya.
You just run her over with a lawnmower? Fuck it.
Like, I know you can unlock a lot of cars in that game, but I'm not sure that one's
And
in
we're back to Jonathan Blow.
What?
Hey, Cole, what was your horrible shout-out?
Well, speaking of Kinect, I'm shouting out the Just Ask Goodbye Kinect. Play on words, I guess. So our Just Ask series is, questions from the community and somewhat answered thoughtfully, I guess. Gifford usually just used one word answer in his, but I don't know. It was entertaining to kind of read your guys' different thoughts on the role that the Xbox and the Kinect plays in the household as an entertainment box and a video game. Less a video game system, and the question was more towards like, can I use it to work out and watch the videos? So
yeah, that's like a streaming.
I like that series. We had another one that I was prominently involved with a 3DS, and it's a good series.
I think that's been showing up about monthly, but I found myself kind of strangely defensive of the series in that. Like anytime you get a question like that, you know, should I buy the Kinect? All like you'll just see, like you know, comment trolls kind of pop up as far as just ripping on the Kinect and not really understanding that this is a valid question coming from somebody that really, I mean, they don't have a 360, they don't have a Kinect, they don't have a streaming device. You know, we don't. You know, me owning every system isn't representative of a majority of people out there considering buying these systems, and sometimes we forget about that, and we try to actually evaluate it based on, you know, the competition, like other workout equipment and other streaming devices and how much money you're spending versus what do you really want to get out of it. And I've been proud to watch that series kind of grow in that regard. And Josh, wrap us up with your horrible shout out.
So yesterday, Monday, there was a really, Ethan, just so you know, I'm not doing this to like make up for the miles between us, but once again, Ethan, shout out. So Ethan had a cool preview up on the website of the War Z, the new, Hammer something Studios?
Hammerpoint Interactive.
Hammerpoint. Their take on the, well, their version of DayZ, basically. I mean, it's basically the same game. So Ethan was, he's got this preview up on the site, and it's great. Go read it. But then I saw on Twitter that he was streaming the game, and I thought, oh, that's cool. I'll go check it out. So jump in there, and we, some of us are in the chat hanging out. Ethan's running around the countryside, trying to make friends, not doing a great job of that. getting killed by some other people, also having trouble hitting zombies with a baseball bat and flashlights. Mm-hmm. It was very entertaining though, regardless. And I thought, maybe I'll jump in there. I saw somebody in the chat say something about, it'd be cool if you had Mr. Dave in here when you were at the character select screen.
Our recurring creator character.
Yeah, Mr. Dave, who originated from Dragon's Dogma, I think now, but he's been in many of our games. The dumpy, blonde-haired, goateed man that's built for milling about. While Ethan's still playing, I jump in the game myself and I create Mr. Dave. And surprise to Ethan, surprise visit. He was very excited. And we ended up rolling around together and on the stream, and it was really fun. And we were actually like, we're doing really well. We killing some stuff. We ended up having, pretty low health just from random stuff. I fell down a hill and then got hit by a zombie. I don't know, Ethan, it was just an attrition thing, and we didn't have any bandages. So we're like, well, we got to go in this town. Ethan says, we got to go in this town and we got to, look for supplies there. And we get there and like being on a stream and talking and playing at the same time is very difficult. And Ethan was doing really well. His tactics were sound, I thought. Like, it was like he made good decisions. And then we see somebody in this town, another player. And in this game, and same thing with DayZ, there's people you don't know. You should probably, just to play it safe, you should probably just shoot them because they're going to shoot you. But Ethan is like always, he's like ever hopeful. And some people call that naive. I would say he's just a good person.
Yeah.
And so we see this other person, and the other guy's like, you guys hostile. And we're like, no. Are you? And he's like, nope.
Oh, is that the,
yeah.
Like
yeah.
The,
he's like, no,
the golden
no.
question that you
yeah.
can't.
Right.
It was
right.
so casual. Yeah.
Yeah.
Can't
yeah.
lie.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah. It was like, we're cool. And then we see him and he's getting chased by some zombies and we go over and help out. And Ethan actually kills a zombie that's going after the guy.
I've seen this episode of The Walking Dead.
Yeah.
It doesn't turn out well.
Yeah. And, Ethan's just like, hey, what's up? We need more bros. And then the guy's like being pretty friendly and Ethan's like, cool, we got another bro. And the dude is like, here. And he gives us a shotgun. And a granola bar, I think. I don't know if that was he yes. dropped that or
that's well, tradition.
Yeah, and
you took the shotgun, I took the granola.
Yeah, yeah. And it was like granola. Yeah, yeah. And it was like, cool, thanks, man.
And you shot Ethan?
And no, it was and the guy left and it was like, wow, cool. Like we just had an encounter with another human and anybody else playing that game, even if I was even in a co-op scenario like this, I think if I was playing with anyone else, we would have killed the guy and taken his fucking shoes and everything else. But Ethan is like, no, let's be friends. And it worked. And we got a shotgun and it was awesome. Well, it was awesome until we got in a fight with a zombie and Ethan had a little bit of a wild swing and knocked me right in the face and killed me. He crushed my skull as I slumped against a police car.
Mr. Dave!
And he didn't even know he did it. He's like, oh, Mr. Dave went like 5 minutes later after beating on this zombie. He looks over and he's like, oh no, Mr. Dave! Which in turn gets him killed.
Yeah. I scream. Like I am visibly upset on the stream when this happens. And then at the end of it, I notice that I have a civilian kill. I'm like, what the hell? I haven't killed any civilians. And then Josh says, you killed me. And I was visibly shaken. It was tough. It was tough.
Yeah, we'll have to go back and cut that highlight reel of the beginning and end of Mr. Dave.
It was a great stream and kudos to you, Ethan, for putting on an entertaining show. But also, we're gonna take those kudos away because you killed Mr. Dave. After talking about friendships, you killed your best friend in the game.
And there's video evidence of it.
Yeah, yeah. He doesn't have power to delete that, does he?
No.
Okay, good.
But I can make highlights and promote it to everyone as a PSA.
Oh, man.
But you're going to try to do some more of those streams, is that right?
Yeah. I think that we'll see how things are going, but I'm kind of maybe looking at Mondays or Wednesdays, perhaps, to be doing that.
Cool.
So,
we'll keep you guys posted.
Playing a variety of games, so.
That's for sure. All right, we're gathered here tonight to talk a little bit about why are we still playing video games at this day and age? Because, Ethan, you sounded a little bit frustrated when we were trying to select a topic about kind of the state of a little bit of gaming journalism and kind of related to, what we cover on a day in, day out basis when we're looking for news headlines and that sort of thing. Where was that coming from?
But, last week was I don't know what – I was in a weird mood last week. I'll just say that, and maybe combative in a way. And I noticed, like, it's like I read a lot of different journalists you know, their reviews, you know, their editorials and all this kind of stuff. And I was kind of looking at mine, and I realized, like, do we even like video games? And, like, do a lot of these guys even like video games anymore? Like, people seem so – there's this level of cynicism and sarcasm that is just permeating in, like, everybody's content. You know, it's not just one or two people. And then, like, you know, again, looking at some live streams to try to kind of, you know, study up on that and that kind of stuff, it was just – it was kind of depressing because it's just, like, people would rather do something negative or bring something negative to light than really talk about why they like gaming, because I don't think any of us would be in this if we didn't like it. But we all, to a point, sound like we don't like it just because we're kind of used to that critical aspect of it. So, you know, Justin had put an idea out, and I kind of feel bad in hindsight because I was kind of like just this dialogue of everyone's fucking negative and I can't take it anymore. And I'm like, you know, crying into my,
like, a bit,
know,
of a pussy.
You know, it was actually lion cereal, but that's beside the point. But I just, you know, I was thinking this past week, like, why do we play games and why do I get excited every time I see them? There's something good here, man. Something got us in here and something keeps us here. And I think, you know, talking about that's always a fun thing, a cheery thing. Though Josh has already started off the night being pissed off, and then I got pissed. So now let's change it. I want to talk about
being pissed. Man, you're like a fucking sponge, man. It's not my fault. God damn it.
You're doing so well and had to, like, bring it down. But I was kind of looking at this, and we're heading into our third game of the year season here. Coming up, and
holy shit.
Also leading up to one of our favorite events, our second charity marathon. So we're trying to get amped up for that. But also, I mean, honestly, I've been feeling a little bit overwhelmed with, there's a lot of games to play and covering them and podcasting and doing our streams, and we love doing it. But, you know, let's kind of look back at, like, how did we get here, to make sure that, like, where are we headed? Because we've had kind of these kind of state of the site podcast episodes before. I didn't really want to do that, but I did want to kind of capture
state of us.
Yeah, state. Yeah, horrible state.
I really like that.
Horrible states. Never mind. Forget it. which Cole and I have kind of documented a couple times, like, how Horrible Night came about, but it's a little bit different story about how we kind of came across Josh and Ethan. But let's go one further step back before we get there. And what do you guys remember about why you started liking video games to begin with? Way, way back. That first controller, that first joystick.
The Atari joystick?
In your case, yes.
The Intellivision paddle?
Also acceptable.
They fit in my butt.
The Nickelodeon machine?
No, I'm just kidding.
This is a dark place. Josh, I want your first story.
That's a...
What do you know? What stands out?
I don't know. I mean, games are fun. Like, anytime... when you're a kid and someone puts...
Period.
When you're a kid and someone puts a video game in front of you, if you don't like it, you're developmentally challenged. And there's nothing wrong with that. But I wasn't. Therefore... I like games. I don't. It's not really a lot of magic there.
I mean, did we have
it's something
choice?
Interactive?
Like, I don't remember not ever playing. Like, I don't remember a point in my life where I didn't play video games. Like, I feel like I was born and then there was some video games and then I just kept playing for a long.
Well, like before,
time, for 28 years.
Well,
you know?
before I had my Atari, it was when I played with toys and toy guns, and I rode my bike and stuff like that, and I liked cartoons. And then I remember playing video games, and those were really fun. And I still did all that other stuff,
okay,
too. It just went into the rotation. It was just like a fun diversion.
When did you realize you were choosing it over a lot of other stuff? When, not made, not necessarily addicted.
Yeah. Like
what was that moment? What made that come together?
Some of the better NES games I had. I remember, like, playing them with friends. And then suddenly it was like we were making play dates just to play Nintendo. That was the difference. Atari, I only ever really played by myself. Mm-hmm. And then with the NES, it was like part of it was, I guess, my age, you know, where I was like having like a friend come over or whatever. And just like where we wanted to get together and it was like, ask moms, and mom said, okay. And then it was just to play NES. It was like, want to get together and play Bases Loaded?
So
yes.
You're a lifetime couch co-op gamer.
Yeah. Oh yeah. It was the, yes, it was playing with friends was the that was the the real driving force. I play games by myself all the time too, but yeah. And it was like the only thing you could do in the dark. Before other stuff.
Well, not the only.
Before other stuff. Like what, you know what I mean? Like you can't, it was like, you know.
You could build a force in the dark.
It was like, go to bed. I didn't have a flashlight.
Like you'd have to come inside when it got dark.
Yeah, and it was like, and it's like, or like at bedtime, you're like, oh, it's bedtime, lights out, like, you know, what are you gonna do? I'm not playing with toys and shit. I can't run around outside. I did spend a lot of time outside, but it was like, what do you do? Well, you played video games or you watched TV, and I didn't really watch TV. I mean, I watched some stuff, but cartoons aren't on at night.
Yeah,
what are you gonna do?
Adult television.
Play some fucking video games.
Fucking yeah. Dallas.
Was it's it not Dallas? The adult yeah, television Dallas. I was thinking of. Yeah. Is that on the? Yeah. What time was that?
6:30.
What night of the week was Dallas on? What channel?
The only night
who
I
cares? Who cares?
The '70s.
I only remember like the Sunday night Disney.
I was more
movies.
Of a Dynasty fan.
Were you a Dynasty fan?
Cole,
because that's coming back, isn't it?
Cole,
Dallas
what
is coming back.
Cole, what did it all click all for you?
Like Josh said, it's for me. I played mostly in television by myself and. Because my dad had bought that before I was born. And then I got into a lot of NES stuff with friends, going over to friends. Like I've talked about two neighbors in particular who've had every game imaginable. So I got a lot of my influence from there and played the games there before I even got my own. So for me it was more we did play some co-op, but it was pass the controller or watch them play.
Verdian in chat is he goes all the way back to Pong. Does anybody does anybody else play? I remember having that in my Atari collection, but it never stood out as the game to play for me.
That was the first video game I ever played.
Yeah, I don't remember.
Like for, I mean, you know, that's cliche to say.
I just remember Atari. Like
my Atari came from my uncle, and first time I played it was when it was still his, and it was over like my grandmother's house. He had it there, and it was I remember like seeing it. Seeing like adults play it and being too little to like get it, I'm sure they put the control in my hands, but I remember is actually like watching it. But like, that was, I mean, goddamn, I was little because that shit. When did Pong come out? Like 84, or
70s,
83, or was it was for Atari though? Not the standalone units.
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, because that was yeah.
It's gonna be early 80s.
Pong, dude, Pong is bad. I don't think it was good then. Combat was cool at the time.
I like
but
combat.
I remember just thinking, like, Pong is dumb.
I was.
Why would I play this?
I always think it's funny that I look back.
And I poop myself.
Thinking I was the one that, like, I always thought the Atari was mine. I'm the younger brother. I played a majority of these games competitively against my dad and my sister. Sequest was our big high score game. That was the one we kept going back to.
DSV?
No, just Sequest.
Okay.
No, wait, was this? Now you're
no, it was that was before Sequest was on.
No,
television.
No, no. Was that also
there
the
was
name
an
of the game?
NES game?
Okay, now you're
called
yeah.
Sequest, but that's fine. I don't remember Atari game Sequest. It's, I'm sure it existed.
Yeah, it's kind of like Choplifter, but
River Raid.
No, it's more side to side. Anyway,
well, I know. Wait, you're you have like the water yellow, lines towards the top, and you had planes flying to the top, and you got ships on the water surface level, and then you got the submarines below.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
it was a good game.
Yeah, that one.
But I remember, like, always thinking it was my Atari. And then at one point, we went for a family vacation and came back, and something had happened where, like, they told me, all I remember is the house got struck by lightning, and it fried the Atari. Because the Atari was plugged in. And it, you know, it was ruined. But we got another Atari really quickly.
Oh.
And I never really realized, maybe my dad liked that Atari a little bit more than I ever gave him credit for. So, but then there was definitely... I mean, Super Mario Brothers was just a turning point as far as that's when I started getting trouble for playing too much, and you know, that the Nintendo yeah. moved from my parents' room to our living room, and it became like, yeah, it was a much, much bigger deal.
I hope Cole says the wizard. I think he's going to, but I hope that's his turning point. I don't know. I'm just saying. I want to like.
Oh, the turn.
If he says, if I don't say something before he says it, I won't get credit for thinking of it. First.
No, the turning point was long before the wizard came.
Damn it.
I'm sorry.
Damn it.
All right. So we
Super Mario Brothers.
We all continue on. We're playing games with our neighborhood friends, meeting each other in some cases. But I think Well, I don't want to speak for everybody, but did you guys ever have a break from video games? What do you think your longest break was from video games, and what really happened around that time?
College.
That was your break?
Alcohol. the pursuit of ladies, not in a very, you know, polite way, but yeah, I think it was like 2 years. There was 2 years where I played a subtle amount of games. I had my GameCube freshman year of college. Justin actually took me to the video game store every once in a while because I didn't have a vehicle. bought me, or he didn't buy it for me, I bought it for myself, Resident Evil Zero. And then, I think maybe towards the very end of that year, I was like, man, you know what's better than video games? And then I realized that I live in this weird, fucked up fantasy world, at all times. There's never a break from that. And when I stepped away from video games, I realized that this strange fantasy land that existed in my head was permeating every aspect of my life, and it needed to be quenched in one way or another. You know, so I did a little bit of role playing, if you will.
Real LARPer?
Weird sex stuff.
Oh,
no, I'm just kidding. And then it was my second senior year, because, you know, some of us take a little bit longer. Want to make sure that we do everything right. I was like, dude, I've got to play some fucking games. So I had a good summer job. I got a 360 and I bought the Elder Scrolls and all of that. And I was like, man, that was dumb to take a break for that long. That was a dumb thing to do. So don't do it, kids. You can do both of those things at the same time.
No, you can. It's true.
Cole, I know you took a break
with the multi-taps.
Yeah, right? I took a pretty long break. I was all into the PS2.
Yeah, you were.
Got it around launch, and then discovered that it could also play DVDs, and kind of my interest moved towards buying and watching movies.
What kind of movies?
And
anime, I bet.
Everything. Yeah,
so into anime. So that's kind of where my funds went, was the movies. And man, I would play a game here and there. I played Sons of Liberty, and then moved to California and basically didn't have a system. Bought a GameCube when I lived with Ethan's brother. Played that briefly. We'd play games here and there, but it wasn't like I owned anything at that point. And it wasn't until I started dating my wife that I bought an Xbox and started getting into Burnout and Tomb Raider Legend, and then I was back in pretty much. Because I remember, I took so long of a break that I wouldn't even go onto the internet and look at games, and would call Justin, be like, hey, I need some advice. Some game advice.
Yeah, those are my favorite phone calls from California. It was actually you and Ethan's brother would call me. I'm in a GameStop right now. What should I buy?
Nathan still does that to this day.
Josh, if you haven't taken a break, what was...
No.
Have there been lulls? Has there,
No. No.
You work at a game center, so...
Yeah, not... No. There.
You don't ever get tired of it?
No. They're fucking games. I love them. They're fun. Why would I get tired of fun? And they're always new and better and different.
There's I love always, fun, too.
Yeah.
You're right.
I mean, no. Why would I ever stop playing games? And you can do anything and in moderation and still have time in your life for all those other things. So I've had a pretty normal life, you know? It's the social aspects were never neglected and sometimes enhanced by the video games. So why would I ever take a break from something that awesome? What the hell's wrong with you guys?
Idiots.
Jeez.
I want to say the closest thing I came to a break would have been around that PlayStation 2 launch. I was still playing. Oh, actually, I was, no, because I was heavy into PC games. It's always been
you were heavy into PC.
Forgot about that. Because I was trying to attribute to, when I don't know what console to buy, sometimes I'll get focused on things. But then after I graduated and took my first internship into a job and money was tight, then I guess the closest I came was I started focusing only on one game, only World of Warcraft. So that was for 15 months where that was the only thing I played. Yeah,
that's taking a break from games, I would say. So,
but also, and never playing more at the same time. But then I got a 360 after I was finally convinced, and then it was, I mean, it's just been a flood of games ever since, and then now I have those problems of going back and buying old consoles, and things just keep coming in waves, and yeah, it's just, it picked up more steam after that. Like, when I had that moment of thinking I'm happy playing World of Warcraft, and it's the only thing I want to play, and then I don't remember what it was. I had to have been seeing Gears of War stuff. That I was like, no, there are all these other games to play, and it just the options seemed endless, and it always seemed like it was getting better. There were new experiences. The technology kept pushing further and further ahead, and it's always been infinitely interesting to me, was keeping up with the technology, seeing the first screenshots and the first trailers of the new tech was always my draw for, you know, through high school and growing up with games. So, which has always just kind of led me to stay really close in contact with, all the news of the industry.
Yeah. Well, close. I mean, there were almost no gaps there. Although I think playing one game at a time, like for a long period of time, that's kind of like taking a break.
Yeah.
From what we do now.
I mean, you used to be heavy, like, you know? When you were in, like, you're heavy into Counter-Strike, dude, what was limited you got?
Even then, I played a jillion different fucking games.
Josh Lee is just steady.
I would just play Counter-Strike, like, at work, you know, like, after work or whatever, right? Yeah. I would go home, and then I'd play whatever. And so, I always played... I've never just had, like, my one game that's all I play. Sometimes I'll have, like, a game in a genre that's my go-to. But, like, that's what the great thing about games. There's so many different kinds of games, like different genres and stuff, that whatever mood strikes, you've got a game available that you can play to scratch the itch. So, like, you know, I'm like, I feel like getting in a tank and, like, blowing up some other human beings. Like, Battlefield 3. Cool. And then you're like, you know, I feel like flying a plane, like a real plane. Like, all right, I'll jump into Pacific Fighters or whatever, you know. Whatever flight sim I've got going on right now. Like, I want to race. Cool. Jump in some... I have, like, 100 racing games I can play.
Do you do anything outside of vehicles?
Yeah. Like, I want to stab someone in the throat.
3D Sex Villa.
Dishonored. Or 3D Sex Villa. Yeah. Well, I was talking about a knife. But, yeah, there's, you know, whatever. I want to play a fucking role-playing game. I'll play an action game. Whatever. There's just so much to choose from.
Well, at least we've established who the model gamer on the site is.
I don't play games play my game.
We've got a lot
I play
to live games up to. Yeah.
It's like when you were growing up, didn't you, like, watch, like, a movie and then go and reenact it outside? Like I watched Terminator, and it was like, my neighbor had, he was, like, my age, and then he had a younger brother, and then, yeah, I'm getting to that part. And, yeah, it was messy too. I felt real bad for, like, a week.
John Connor.
No, but we'd go outside with our toy guns, and we'd be the good guys, and somebody would be the Terminator. And, he had to pretend to die every once in a while and then get up. And we, like, made him play a certain way, you know? We had rules for him and shit. Now you just play the Terminator game. Or you, not now, but, you know, at the time, like, it was like, oh shit, look, Terminator 2 on the NES, like, play it. Fucking, you want to relive those things you see on TV? Fucking play them. It was like, you saw G.I. Joe the cartoon, you want to buy the toys. And then eventually G.I. Joe game came out on the NES, and it was, at the time, I thought it was awesome.
I know Ethan and I have had, like, our want to be a game designer phase. Did you ever go through that?
Yeah, but actually kind of more recently, like, well, I guess it's been probably 6 years or so. And I made some games in XNA, so.
First thing I remember doing was sketching out Mario. What would it have been? It would have been Mario. Would have been Super Mario 4, because it was right after Super Mario 3. I was sketching out Mario levels and new suits for him.
Oh wow!
Like alligator Mario, like everything was whatever animal Mario. But plenty of pads of paper of that.
We actually had a couple game developers. development meetings, I think, during college, early years, that we would kind of throw ideas past each other and stuff like that. So, I mean, that's still a dream, though. That's still something that you just write ideas down and that kind of stuff.
Aren't your Flash games still out there somewhere?
Well, I have a couple on my hard drive. I did my Flash games more of the point-and-click variety, but I found one of my old ones. It actually wasn't too bad. I forgot that I actually somewhat knew how to use Flash. So, but now, actually, I mean, just like Josh was talking about, I downloaded RPG Maker, you know, like last week and just kind of toying around with that just to, you know, just to do something, and it's fun. That's a lot of fun, man.
Is it weird that I didn't want to make games when I was a kid? Is that weird?
I didn't either. I didn't understand how you made them. Like, I didn't get that. Like, magic? That didn't make sense to me when I was kid.
Creative. I just didn't.
Yeah, I drew a lot, but I don't know. I thought it was going to be too tough. I thought I was dumb when I was a kid because I was so hyper and I couldn't sit still. So I thought I was, like, really dumb, but that wasn't necessarily it. I was just really hyper. So
as soon as
maybe
I got,
now, I don't know. Maybe I can sit and play a game. Make a game.
As soon as I got my first computer, I started writing about them.
What do you mean, writing about?
Like games?
Yeah, started writing game reviews.
Huh.
Did you really?
Yeah. That's what I did. My first computer. Well, I was like late teens, but that was my first computer. You know,
I actually started writing out the novelization of Secret of Mana. I do recall that. I was writing that.
You got that still?
Oh, man. No, that's on a notepad pad somewhere. I remember that.
Where I wanted to go was kind of how we all got involved with Horrible Night, because my first ever written review was actually for Horrible Night. I'd written a lot of like buying guides for friends or for like on my own blog of like summaries of a bunch of games, but not like a formal review. So when I sat down and I think God of War 3 was the first one that I wrote, and we've talked about this before, but basically, if you don't know the origin of this site, basically comes from Cole and I looking for reasons to kind of keep doing our creative writing. We've been looking for years for an outlet for it, and we've had some failed projects in the past, and we're probably thinking about things a little too hard, and it just became, let's do something. What can we write about? And then we were probably talking about games in between those conversations, and it's just like, dude, we talk about games all the time, and we aren't slowing down with playing video games, and
We could have been doing this since high school. We were just too stupid to realize it.
It was so obvious we missed it. I forget how we got back in touch with you, Ethan. Do you remember when did you run across Horrible Night?
Well, we got Nathan involved.
Okay.
And I think that's how Ethan kind of got involved, through Nathan, because then Nathan said, my wife's about to have two kids. I need to step out. And then Ethan kind of stepped in and took over. And
far beyond
whatever Nathan did.
Well, I remember I was kind of nervous to send you an article. Like,
I'm an asshole. I was like,
what should I do? I don't know. It was just, I look good. Like, you know, like I remember Ethanville, and it was just like a douchey website. And I was like, that's the last thing people remember me writing. And then so like, Justin's got like a, not, it's a nice looking website.
Did you make it in Hot Dog? What program did you use to make your website?
A Dreamweaver.
Oh, whoa, fancy. Jeez.
My first site was in Yahoo Page Builder. or GeoCities Page Builder right before that. But,
yeah. Angel Fire.
Yeah. I was going to say, what was it, Body Harvest Remake It So?
Yeah.
Like, I didn't even want to write a review. I just created a whole new series. Yeah, I was just like, yeah, fuck it. I'll just jump all in on this one. So I'm glad because I was playing a ton of video games at that point, and I was like, man, like, I've got to, I don't know why I was feeling guilty. Like, I almost jumped on that career path where I was doing a job that I hated. I was like 5 seconds away from that. And literally writing for the website basically made me, well, eventually quit my job and move to Germany. So, hey. So, yeah, but no.
Would you say that writing for HorribleNight.com hindered your day job career to the point where it didn't progress to... So that's why you could quit it now? I mean, it worked out in the end, but what I'm saying is, has it been a major distraction in your life that's really held you back?
No. Okay. I was actually doing really well in my job.
Oh, okay.
Up to a point.
All right, cool.
I was like, that's great. Kind of a cool guy.
So you stopped caring.
That's good to hear.
Well, you know, here's the thing, and I think that we all have this in one way or another, is I don't, you know, I like to be creative. I like to entertain people. I don't like to be depressed every single day of my life. And I was like, you know, like once you kind of hit, once you get that bug or that itch to write and to kind of be out there and kind of do that, your promotion stuff or network or whatever, it's kind of tough to go back. Like, it's kind of tough to think about a life where you don't do a podcast or you don't, you know, talk about video games or talk about something you really like. So, I mean, it was kind of tough to turn back. I don't know. Like, I kind of got like, you know, maybe, I don't know. Hopefully it's not like some of this like kind of chasing some kind of weird dream that'll never come to play. But I mean, fuck, dude, it would suck to like just not, like, my job would have been so much worse if I hadn't been writing about video games and doing the podcast and shit like that. So
he might have offed himself.
Yeah, I think for me too, I was kind of in the same boat, like working a shitty job, and then Horrible Night comes along and it kind of kept me sane.
Saved lives.
And,
yeah, you did.
Saved lives, yeah. And it was more of like, it kind of delayed my realization of how unhappy I was in that job and where I was living. And once I started like focusing on that, it kind of didn't matter anymore as much. And then, you know, when I forced myself to change and move, I think it definitely helped have that stabilizing thing that I enjoyed doing.
Well, I mean, we didn't know why we were looking for that creative writing outlet, but it was obviously just something that I know Cole and I were passionate about from the beginning, and that aligning with our being passionate about video games, it did make things just a lot of fun. And then, like you said, Ethan, then all of a sudden habits have formed and we're writing, you know, we went from having like 7 articles a week to 14, 15 articles a week to a podcast a week, and now probably a video a week, like that we're still ramping that stuff up. But along the way, we're trying to expand to like, okay, we've kind of got our core community of writers established, but let's reach out a little bit more, and we start trying to figure out how to do events. And that's when we reached out to Netheads, and Josh and I went out for some drinks and figured out that we both like to talk about video games quite a bit. And then, but why'd you stick around? Why are we podcasting right now?
I fucked up.
it's ruined my life.
I don't know. My Tuesdays are lost. I'll never get all those Tuesdays back. That's fun. I talk about games. I've always talked about games a lot. At work, working with and around gamers for 13 years now. As my day job. Inevitably you're going to talk about the games a lot. And I don't know, there was a point there, like, I mean, I wasn't writing for a long time, and I wasn't doing any sort of, I mean, I had no outlet creatively, really. So when we hooked up originally, it was like, I can't remember how it came up. It was just like, you want to write a review? And I did that. And then so I did a little spot on the podcast. I don't know how that's got started, how I got in on
it. I don't remember how the podcasting or videos got.
I don't know. The videos were much later, but like, I just remember some point getting in the rotation, and we started doing some of those shows from Netheads. We did some live ones, and but that's been like a year ago now, I guess.
Year and a half.
Yeah, so it's been a while. But yeah, I don't know. I made friends with, you know, all the guys on the staff, and
you meshed very well with us, yeah, really quickly, and I think that helped a lot.
Yeah, that was just, it was like really just, it felt like a natural fit. So
absolutely.
I feel like if anybody who has a lot of opinions and they don't feel like they're necessarily getting them out, like you don't have an ear, like I say, if you don't have a buddy at work or one of your good friends who you can just sit there and just talk about something you're passionate about for a long time, then you're probably not getting everything out of your system that you want to say. And I think that's what creativity is, really. It's getting stuff out of your system. Mm-hmm. And so I think everybody should have an outlet. And I just got lucky, and, you know, mine just happens to be something that is also really rewarding. But, you know, it could just be like you and some buddies, you know, hanging out on a Friday night and just like, you know, chilling and talking games and stuff. And it's not really that much different than what we do. We just, you know, edit and try to stay, and we have notes.
We're just a little more vain than they are, I guess.
Well, yeah, sure. I mean, but wait, it's a little more focused, but
you don't take you don't take notes to when you go hang out with friends at like dinner parties. And
have you ever done that for real? Be honest.
You wouldn't put it past me.
Yeah.
I have a spreadsheet for every family occasion.
You fucking you? Would. Yeah. So I was looking at my hanging out with friends stats for the past month. And it looks like I hung out with friends 3 times less than last month. I don't know why we're down.
Man, you should see those emails he sends out just for the friends hangouts.
So guys, what do you think we're gonna do for dinner? Yeah, do you guys think we're gonna order an appetizer at Longhorn Steakhouse this week? I don't know. Last time we got the Bloomin' Onion, I'm not sure. I see only 4 out of the 7 people actually enjoyed it. You're fucking stats nerd. You
Our
fucking nerd.
Are down. <appetizers.
laughs> We had no photos shared from our last outing.
No.
You guys are assholes. I'm glad I'm working with you. So, as I said, we're going into our third season here of Game of the Year discussions, which is kind of got to build up the system a little bit. And but I've kind of found with these podcasts, it used to be that this was my outlet. It was to get everything out of my system, have my gaming conversation. But I've also, like, really in the last year, and I think Ethan, I'm going to speak for him here, but I think this actually energizes me to do more for this site after the podcast. Like, it's just kind of my recharge to stay amped up to try to find new outlets for original material. But we're also on the cusp of a new generation of games. And so it kind of begs the question of what's keeping you going? Like, not just for Horrible Night, but just for playing games. Do you feel like you're slowing down? Are you speeding up? If I speak for myself, like, I keep expecting myself to slow down. But, and I honestly thought that this fall season was going to be kind of a downer. And it, you know, comparatively to the amount of quality games, it kind of is, but I am still finding some amazing moments in games that I would predict to find amazing moments in, but also some new games. And I don't feel my interest in new games and old games changing one bit.
Well, I can answer that one.
Please do.
If it wasn't for indie games, I don't think I would have kept the passion up in the last couple of years like I have. And that's not to say I haven't really enjoyed the larger games and the AAAs. But I feel like at some point, I don't know what the turning point was, but I started to get maybe more jaded.
Sure.
You know, more cynical. Because there is a lot of, we have sequelitis in the industry, heavy. There's a lot of cash in stuff, you know, when you see Activision, EA, Zynga, you know, companies like that catch a lot of heat. It's a lot of it for good reason. Some of it's just people dogpiling, but there's a reason that people get upset in the first place. They just like they shovel stuff out, and there's plenty of consumers. There's so many people playing games now. There's plenty of them buying stuff that we wouldn't necessarily consider good, but they buy it anyways because they don't know better. That's kind of the general view from the, you know, if you're on the inside of the circle. And so I feel like, you know, if that's all I saw, if that's all of the game industry I saw, I'd just be falling out pretty fast. But then when games like Minecraft come along, you know, or, you know, stuff like, you know, Mark of the Ninja or Cave Story or, you know, whatever it is, Super Meat Boy, you see those things, and that just, some of them are retro, some of them are just different, way unique. Those kinds of things, the games are built for just pure joy. It's not built to sell, you know, 10 million copies. It's just like, it's supposed to be fun. That's it. there are guys out there making games just for fun. Still. Mm-hmm. They're not necessarily making, you know, it's not the guys making, you know, sports games or the yearly, you know, the yearly flavor of the week shooter, but those games are out there. And because I've got those, then I can kind of pick through all the AAAs and find the ones that do something new or different or just something fun. And, like, so there, I feel like they're the, my habits have changed some. I'm not just buying the same, you know, the big stuff that everyone else is buying.
Do you think the indie games are replacing? I know both you and I speak a lot about our adoration for the middle tier games that are going away.
Absolutely.
But the indie games are almost replacing those.
Absolutely.
Because it's those big, fun, dumb joy games that have always carry us through to the next big release.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think every time that I feel like the big releases are going to let me down, something always comes wrong to surprise me, but I think you're on to something as far as the smaller games, the passion games that are out there that carry you through the lulls in the release schedule and remind you of why you like video games in the first place.
Well, and if the indie games weren't coming out so steadily, we would have some big gaps.
I mean,
big gaps.
I mean, we're streaming every week now. We're looking to stream games every week. So you and I are always peeking through, okay, what came out this week? And it's a legitimate question that every week we might find a game that we're interested in. And we're jaded motherfuckers, but we still happen to find something new to play that we're genuinely interested in. And that that seems to be only picking up steam, if anything.
Yeah.
No pun intended.
It's growing. Yeah, right.
Well, I was going to say, I mean, going along the lines of the indie scene, just like, you know, I've had the opportunity to talk to a couple, you know, indie developers and to hear that passion firsthand kind of reinvigorated me a little bit last year, definitely with talking with Ian Stalker, who did Escape Goat, and then Sarah Northway, who did Rebuild. You know, that actually hearing them talk about it and just understanding where that passion's coming from and being able to put it, you know, a face to that and a name to that was great, because at that point was probably when everybody was kind of, you know, saying, you know, we'll get the Call of Duties. We just went through Epic release, you know, fall. And it was like, you know, it was exhausting. I mean, it really was. Like last year, it was exhausting. And to see those new things come out, and actually, like, you know, every week I'm doing the cheap and dirty, you know, and so you guys are doing the live stream and I'm doing the cheap and dirty, which kind of focuses more so on browser games and free-to-play games. But even then, those markets are really starting to tighten up. And there's some really good quality stuff coming out there as well. I mean, free-to-play last year, talking about free to play, I completely wrote it off. And at this point, there's some pretty good titles out there. And then browser games, I remember browser games on Newgrounds. You know, it was like click this button and do this. And there's some pretty cool things coming out there as well. And it's just there's so many different things that you can do, so many different things you can play. I'm at the point right now that there is not a single game that would not entertain somebody, even if you don't think you're a gamer. And I think this is what keeps me motivated. And Justin, you've talked about this a lot, is finding a game for somebody, you know, that they would enjoy. You know, I mean, I remember my wife hates video games, but I found a stupid little, you know, bust a move type game and she played it for hours, you know. So just knowing that this is a media that could entertain anybody is pretty cool. And for us, I mean, we have, you know, sometimes short attention spans, but it's nice to be able to pop in between there's a game for every emotion, just like Josh said, and that's a pretty nice thing. So if I, you know, like the other day when I watched The Walking Dead, well, hey, I can play the War Z, you know, and kind of still have that feeling.
You can play
so
The Walking Dead.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's crazy.
Exactly. Or you can play The Walking Dead. So yeah, I mean, I'm almost too excited about video games right now. Like I every day I wake up and just looking at the list of games to play, looking at the things that are coming out, it's like, oh shit, you'll never have enough time. Like, I don't have a full-time job, and I don't have enough time to play all the games that I want to play.
That makes me worry.
Like, it's insane.
We're going to have to start foregoing sleep.
Yep.
Sleep.
Well, I am right now, actually, so.
Cole, you've been chewing on some different flavors as far as, I know the indie game scene isn't necessarily something that you're living and breathing, but what's keeping you going?
I think for me, I'm definitely hot or cold sometimes, just depending on what day it is, I guess, on how into video games I am lately. but I've kind of been more focused on playing things that are, and I don't know if this is because of the website or not, and I think it, you know, very well could be, because I kind of want to play different things than what you guys are playing, or everybody else that's playing. And so that means kind of staying away from games like Halo 4 or Borderlands 2 until a time when you guys are done with them, and then I feel like I can jump in there and not be influenced so heavy by what you guys are saying or what other people are saying, or even getting into the co-op. So I've kind of been more focused on like 3DS and games on there, just because it doesn't seem like that is something that we cover a whole lot, and that's more interesting to me than something that everybody is playing at the same time.
There are plenty of games to always find something that somebody isn't playing, but you also tend to bounce back pretty regularly to your more of your backlog or even some older retro games. What keeps you going back?
Yeah, I like I said last week, I've been playing a lot of old games like Punch-Out and The Legend of Zelda, and Punch-Out is just one of those games that I'll always go back to. It's just, I don't know, it's perfect bite-size gaming when I don't have a lot of time, but I wanted to get something in. And then a game like, I've played Metroid, my 3DS, Legend of Zelda, just kind of those, some of the games that I never got to play when I was a kid, and as I got older, I just never went back to, so they're like extreme backlog of games. I don't know, it's just, I get in really different moods for the type of games I want to play. Like Josh was saying, you know, there's there's an emotion or a mood for every type of game. And, you know, when I want to play an RPG, I'll go play some Final Fantasy or search something new, and I'll play that new game for a while and then get bored with it and then look for a different genre, like a shooter, and go play a Call of Duty or Borderlands or whatever. And I think I'm very, I don't know, bipolar or whatever when it comes to games. Just I'm always changing, and I always like the new stuff, but I tend to be more constrained by budget and not being able to buy everything.
Sure.
And then, but I do get on that hype train, and especially for new consoles, I am like all in on all the new consoles.
I think that honestly, leading up to the Wii U, when I was pretty against it, like after E3, just like, how the fuck is Nintendo going to do this? I want them to succeed, and I'm not interested in it. It has to mean something. Then we're like, all, you know, it's a couple weeks away, and I am pissed that I didn't pre-order one. And the fact that at this point that I still get that excited just for something new kind of makes me realize that that passion may never go away. if I could still get amped up about that stuff, even if, you know, I mean, I'm the king of you're going to get it anyway. I will still find ways to get excited about things that I know better than to get excited for. And, but at the same time, some stuff I still end up loving it, even though there isn't a logical reason. Like, I don't know, when I went back to World of Warcraft 2 years ago, it was just like, no real good explanation, but I fucking love my time doing that, and that keeps happening time and time again, and there's new innovations to always be excited about. There's a lot of new ways to play games with different types of people. And then, Ethan's still, like, I'm still driven by the fact that I would love to just try to, you give me somebody, give me the parameters of, like, what kinds of games they don't like, or why they do or don't like games. I want to find a game for that person, and that's kind of why I'm old.
You should work at GameStop.
No. I want to be that person.
They could use a guy like you.
Yeah. They don't have to pre-order it.
You're that strategy guy.
Then you're going to get fired.
Yeah. You're going to want Call of Duty. Trust me. Trust me. You're going to love it. You're going
to
love it.
Yeah, I think I, going back on like that excitement for the new stuff, I can remember the last time I wasn't excited for a new console was when the 360 came out, because I was just kind of getting back into gaming, and just bought the Xbox like maybe a couple months before the 360 came out, and didn't really even know about it that much. But ever since then, like PS3, everything, I've just been on it for every system.
since then. And just really excited.
You know, I think that anybody who's a gamer, like plays a lot of games, has been playing for a while, that feel like they're getting burnt out. They're just like, if you feel like you've lost the joy, just watch an episode of Game Center CX, the Retro Game Master, too.
Why don't you plug one of our videos? Just watch one of our videos.
Just watch Horrible Night. No, that dude, how old is that guy? He looks like he's like in his 40s, right?
He's older than we are.
Yeah, he's like 40s. This dude is, he plays games. He's like, they stick him in a room and make him play like Famicom games and shit for like 12 hours until he like beats a game or whatever. But he's like, he just sees like the pure like joy in it when he's doing it. He's always just laughing, just like having a good time. You see him go to like the little game shops and he just sees shit and he's just like, he's like a little kid. He's like, oh, this is the best. And, like there's some kind of like innocence that you can, I think people can keep. You know, your life's got heavy shit in it, but there's like a switch that you can flip. And that's what games are about for a lot of people. I mean, I have firsthand experience. I see people every day at my day job just coming in to play games just to kind of forget whatever was going on, you know? And, it's a way to escape. And, got to let yourself get kind of sucked into it. And like, we spend so much time criticizing, and it's part of our jobs is like criticizing, nitpicking, you know, trying to figure out like, what are the things about this that are going to be good? What's going to be bad? That way that, you know, the people will know, our readers, listeners, viewers will know whether or not that thing's for them. And, so we're helping purchase decisions and, but that's a part of gaming that you don't do if you're just playing for fun.
Yeah.
So for us to be able to just flip the switch that everyone else does, it can be difficult, but just, you gotta, but there's a point though where you just need to stop, you know, take a deep breath, go, remember that why you're playing video games. Maybe you need to take a break or whatever, but just maybe you just need to find some games that let you just forget, you know, or remember why you started in the first place. And I think you can almost enjoy all of them more. Like that's what kind of works for me, is that it's like, I don't want to play, you know, I should play this game so we can, so I can talk about it, blah, blah. I find myself doing that. And then sometimes I'll go, no, I want to have a good time. Like I need to be playing
I don't want to get to that point.
And I do that, but I just know when the times are, like, if I just do something for fun, then I can go and do the thing I kind of need to or I'm supposed to, and then I'll have a better time with it because I'm just like, I'm in a good mood, I'm playing for fun, and not just like, oh, I gotta slog through this thing, because it's like, you know, a lot of guys playing like WoW, same thing, World of Warcraft, same thing. I have to log on tonight because my guild's raiding. Yeah. Like, you're not playing the game because you think it's going to be fun tonight. You're logging on and playing because you have to. It's like, if it becomes work, you probably shouldn't be doing it. Or you need to do it differently. So, I mean, that's my advice for people. And that's kind of, advice to myself that I take.
That's what always pulls me back in. It's just those moments when an unexpected game catches me off guard and I realize how much fun I'm having with it. And then, oh yeah, mm-hmm. That's why I still play games, because I know it's just I can attribute it to the way we approach our live streams. We got into a run there where we were just, you know, doing Game Curious Reflux reviews every week. We were being, every video we were producing was critical, and we were analyzing things and having our own fun. But then every now and then we'll get on and you'll stream with Ethan for just playing the War Z or just playing Saints Row, and It all comes back. So, so I think we're in good shape heading into the end of the year here, and excited for where Horrible Night goes and where gaming is headed in 2013. You know, assuming that we make it to 2013.
Oh my God! I don't want to. let's not even think about. It's not going to let up. I mean, like, somebody's got to be Keanu Reeves. Someone's got to be Sandra Bullock here, because this bus is not going to slow down. Like, because we have We've got games all, you know, through the end of the year. First quarter is fucking crazy. And then we don't even know what's happening in the summer yet.
Then what happens in the summer is we all go backlog crazy. It doesn't really slow down.
No, we go hype train for the new consoles crazy. Because in June, that shit is going to get announced. And then we're going to go, oh, shit. I mean, we're going to have it next year. We're going to have two new consoles. We're going to have a new GTA. That's in itself is like, that's a kind of BioShock. A big deal for the games industry. Yeah. A new BioShock, which is, I can't believe like that's going to be one of the biggest games of the year from a company that, you know, did like System Shock. Like that was like that was a little niche horror game. Like, and they're making like gigantic, you know, that's just, you're going to see commercials during football games for that, you know, at some point, like crazy, crazy big stuff. I mean, it's going to be cool. Maybe we'll see like Respawn's game. You know, like there is going to be, it's going to be really fucking awesome. And I feel like we have had a little bit of a lull. I mean, cause we've had the consoles are, you know, 6 or 7 years old now, whatever, like 100, they're like 100 years old. And so we're just talking about, you know, incremental updates with the games and then boom, you know, and all the Wii U shit. We're going to get a Monster Hunter game, a couple of those over here that aren't on the PSP. Like, whoa, holy shit. Oh, that's kind of cool. Oh, I just hope we get a new Zelda next year, too. Wouldn't that be fucking badass?
I'm sure they have a couple tricks up their sleeve.
Oh.
Hold on to your butts.
Oh, man. Hold on to them. Spread them, because here comes Reggie. Because you're going to fucking buy Zelda.
That's their marketing campaign for the Wii U.
That's actually good, man. If they want to get a more adult audience, yeah, definitely.
Just spread them, because here comes Reggie.
Straight to the anal.
Oh.
He's gonna pull out the Wii gamepad out of his pocket, and he's gonna put it right in your ass. Does it have Rumble? That's the one feature I didn't see the checkbox for. Does it have Rumble, Cole?
I don't know. It has to.
It's a big Rumble. Oh, that gamepad.
Why wouldn't it? You think because it has a screen in it?
Using it more to
Nintendo's
like,
the inventor of Rumble. They need to. That's gonna happen.
Yeah. Yep. Good point.
Oh, I was so excited about that Rumble pack, playing fishing games with it. That was the first thing I thought of.
Star Fox, man.
Yep. You know, take this show home tonight with HorribleNight.com updates. We finally did our formal announcement of our charity game marathon taking place from noon Eastern Time on November 17th to noon Eastern Time on Sunday, November 18th. We will be doing some co-op couch gaming actually, in the aftermath episode after this, we're going to be discussing the list of games. We're going to start paring this list down and try to figure out what games we're going to focus on in the marathon. And we'd appreciate you checking out. You can catch everything on acallthegamers.org, our community outreach organization. And we'll be streaming there. We'll be taking donations for Child's Play and lots more info in the upcoming weeks. Real soon. Because we're getting really close. About how you can get involved and help us spread the word. We'd appreciate it. We've got some aggressive fundraising goals, but we know we have great readers and viewers like yourself and listeners.
$25,000.
Whoa. $25,000?
Yeah. I think
that's a couple Mortal Kombat tattoos. I think we can do it. So, more on that. More on that.
That's still on the table, right? Johnny Cage?
Yeah.
If we... $10,000...
I'm going to be on StreamMate as well, on a separate
channel. Oh, we're going to get some tokens.
You've been on there.
So have you.
Damn.
We also may be...
I think we've all been on there, okay?
As performers, we're not weird or anything.
Yeah.
We're also figuring out the logistics of potentially sending Josh and Cole out to find a Wii U. Since that is the launch
day. I'm excited for this. Really, I know it's going to be a disaster, but I'm excited for it.
If we can figure out how to Skype in during our live stream.
You have a gun? We might need it.
A light gun.
I don't think those people got caught from the Wii launch. They like robbed some people out in front of a Best Buy. I don't think they got caught. I think it's valid tactic. What?
On that note, before Josh is arrested. That's going to do it for The Horrible Show. We appreciate you listening in. If you like the show, give us a review on iTunes or leave some comments on the site. We'd appreciate it. And the Horrible Show will be back in 2 weeks. That means Super Gaming Best Friends is next week and every week coming at you live Tuesday night starting at 7:30 Eastern. Thanks everybody for joining us. We'll catch you next time.
See ya! We'll be right back.